Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, August 6th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick, that's me. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and playwear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the banner that reads Dr. Dick's Sex Toys and Props. You will enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and easy. Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of going down to the local sex emporium to pick up all those wicked toys you've been drooling over. No seedy storefronts, no leering salesmen, just you and the privacy of your computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit the stockroom today. You'll be glad you did. I have a really delicious show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline. It's 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. This is a free, no pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. First, we hear from Jackie, 32, female, from London. She writes, "Do you have a suggestion regarding sexual positions for easier anal sex?" I sure do, doll. Try it doggy style. It's the most popular position for getting it in the bum. It's a really basic sex position where the bottom bends over a bed, a couch, a chair, the whatnot shelf, and the top nails him or her in the ass from behind. For obvious reasons, this position is also called the rear entry position. And just so you know that we ain't complete uncultural slobs here at drdicksexadvice.com, there's a Latin name for doggy style. It's coitus ferarum, which literally means fucking in the manner of the beasts. Doggy style is the preferred position for most people of the female persuasion, don't you know? Because it allows the top to directly stimulate the chick's G-spot for that really yummy feeling. This position also allows a hands-free fuck. The top can busy himself or herself fondling the bottom's tits and all his or her junk in the trunk. Similarly, the bottom's hands are also free to diddle himself or herself and grab something of the top's, like his nuts or her taint. There is no major exertion of limb muscles, just as long as the top bends his or her bottom over something high enough so that he or she won't have to strain his or her knees while they fuck. Politically correct folks think this sexual position is too submissive for a woman in straight sex, she being pretty much locked into this position and under the control of the male top. But I say, fuck political correctness. If you like this position, use it. Better yet, once you get nailed, strap one on and give as good as you got. Like everything in life, the doggy position has some drawbacks, as an inexperienced bottom may encounter discomfort because the top can penetrate pretty deeply in this position. For the romantics among us, they'll be unable to maintain eye contact or kiss during the fuck. And of course, there's also no frontal visual stimulation unless you're bumping in front of a mirror, which is never a bad idea. Another swell position is the spoon position. Here, the top lies on his or her side with knees bent slightly forward. The bottom lies in front, facing the other way and positions him or herself in such a way so that his or her butt lines up with the top's dick or strap-on. This allows for pretty much effortless fucking for both top and bottom. Folks have been known to fall asleep mid-fuck in this position, so don't let this happen to you. Hey, and it's really easy for the couple to switch sides, too. The advantages of the spoon position are pretty clear. Both the top and the bottom are reclining. There is little to no exertion, and it's an ideal position for us older folks, or the truly jumbo among us. After the fuck is finished, the couple can remain in this position for a very long time, extending the afterglow. The bottom can do the old reach around and grab something of the top's to play with. The top can also reach around for easy access to tits and pussy and tits or cock. Do you see how I'm going out of my way to be inclusive with these instructions? I sure hope so. And in this position, the lucky bottom gets the joy of being plugged and cuddled all at the same time. This might be a better option than doggy style for the inexperienced bottom, because he or she will have some control over the depth of the penetration. While some folks think this position is downright boring because it doesn't involve much activity on the part of either top or bottom, the spoon position does get the politically correct seal of approval. It is one of those egalitarian sexual positions, don't you know? Neither the top nor the bottom is in a superior position. Isn't that special? Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again? 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Bob, 48, Long Island, New York. He writes, almost 20 years ago, I had a transsexual encounter. It was different, but wonderful. Now I find myself wanting to explore this experience again. I'm now married with kids, and I know it's cheating, but it won't leave my thoughts. I don't know what to think. I love being with this woman, but this hunger won't go away, and I'm not entirely sure I want it to. I don't know if this means I'm gay, bi, or what. Please, please, if you have any advice, your help and thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Hey, Bob! The question of whether this craving makes you gay or bi or what is the least of your issues, darling. You got this, Jones, about chicks with dicks, and it won't go away? Well, mostly it won't go away because you don't want it to go away. It's a hunger that you feed by starving it. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that you will, in pretty short order, go out and get yourself some of this exotic monkey love, just like before you were married. And I also predict that you will make it a habit, risks to your comfortable lifestyle and cheating on your wife notwithstanding. Here's the thing about sexual obsessions of any stripe. The more you starve them, the more the hunger consumes you. So rather than treat the desire head-on, perhaps you need to address the underlying issues that give rise to it. I'd be willing to speculate that your life has become so predictable, mundane, and lethargic that you long to be startled awake from this slumber. You entertain these juicy revelries as a way of keeping yourself from completely succumbing to the boredom. Am I right, Bob? I think I am. You see, the real issue here is not your craving for a walk on the wild side. It's the boredom at your core. Desperate men do desperate things, and bored men do foolish things. So I suppose you need to ask yourself, to what lengths are you willing to go to satisfy this craving? And once you answer that, the more important question will remain. How many times will you have to satisfy your craving to balance out the monotony in the rest of your life? You see how this virtually has nothing to do with your sexual orientation, gay, bi, or whatever. It has to do with your lifestyle. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, that free podcast voicemail telephone number again, what is it? It's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Shelley. She's 20. She writes from Raleigh, North Carolina. My boyfriend and I are 20. We've been together for almost 2 years, and we're in love. But we have a problem. I'm pro-choice, and he isn't. He says he won't have sex with me unless I agree to have the kid if I get pregnant. I told him that there's no way that I could agree to that. It's my choice because it's my body. But then he says it's his choice to stop having sex with me because he disagrees with my views. Where do I go from here? I'm not really ready to start a family. We're not even married yet. You know, Shelley, if men got pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. Where do you go from here? Simply put, darling, hit the road or tell him to. This dude you say you love and loves you back is actually trying to control you with his dick. That's never a good thing. It would also set a dangerous precedent for the rest of your relationship. Because if he gets his way on this one, mark my words, he will try the same ploy over and over and over again. I realize that you don't have much of a frame of reference about these things, being as young as you are, but healthy adult relationships don't come with sexual ultimatums, ever. There is, of course, a way to have your cake and eat it too. You can enjoy a full and rich sex life and avoid unplanned pregnancies all at the same time. Let me introduce you kids to a little concept called contraception. What the fuck? You're both 20 years old. You should have a handle on this elementary notion already. Where have you been all your life? Each of you should be well-versed in all methods of contraception, and both of you should practice at least one foolproof method. If you are too immature to get this together, I can assure you, you're way too immature to commence fucking. Get it? Here's the deal. I, too, am not a big fan of abortion, especially when it's used as the primary means of contraception. And since there is a very easy way to avoid this unfortunate moral dilemma, you guys would be fools not to take advantage of it. You could also circumvent the whole problem of an unplanned pregnancy in the process. But wait, what if your boyfriend is opposed to contraception? It sure sounds like he might. Well then, you're really shit out of luck. No fucking for you till you're married. No, till you're absolutely ready to conceive, even if that's well after you're married. Because you know you're gonna get knocked up the very first time you let him near your pussy. Mutual masturbation works as an alternative to full-on fucking, but probably there's some prohibition against that in his world too, huh? So, you see why I said at the beginning that your best option is to hit the road or tell him to. Good luck. Next, Chad, 25, from Alaska. He writes, my new girlfriend is 5 years older than me, and she's a total freak. She has purple hair, 5 tattoos, and 7 piercings, including her labia. She wants me to get my dick pierced. I said I'd think about it, but she says I'm a pussy for putting it off. I know lots of guys have piercings, but how safe is it? Hey, I firmly believe in the right of every adult to augment, adorn, and embellish, or in any other way customize his or her body. However, I draw the line at someone goading another person to do so. And it sounds to me like your freaky deaky girlfriend is badgering you to do just that. So if I were you, I'd tell her to back off till you can sanely make up your mind on your own. It's a good thing you being so thoughtful like you are, because even though piercing is not permanent like a tattoo, there still are risks involved. More even than getting inked. As body piercing becomes more and more trendy in the popular culture, many people try to outdo each other with unusual piercings. However, all the most common piercings have their roots in the traditions of tribal peoples throughout the world. The first thing you should know is that body piercing is an art form. It is best practiced by well-trained, highly qualified, and seasoned professionals. If you entrust your body to an amateur, you're just asking for trouble. Do your homework. As piercing establishments proliferate, some will be better than others. In most jurisdictions, piercers and their salons are required to be registered and licensed. You might want to check with your local health department for information and possible recommendations. Before you decide to proceed, however, visit the piercer in his or her shop. Ask for questions. Ask them how they sterilize their instruments and jewelry. Autoclaving is the only safe method. Nowadays, all needles should be single-use instruments. They should be opened just prior to piercing and then disposed of immediately thereafter. If the shop offers other adornments, like tattooing, make sure that the piercing is done in a separate room, for privacy as well as hygiene's sake. Most people are initially concerned with the pain involved in getting pierced. Depending on what you're getting pierced, there will be moderate to a whole lot of pain. And that's just the beginning. Once the jewelry is in place, there will be at least 2 to 3 days when the piercing area is very sensitive to the touch. Because some areas of the body have more blood flow than others, like your dick, for example, expect some blood loss and a lot of swelling post-piercing. Trust me, getting a boner afterwards will be your worst nightmare. That being said, you will be amazed at how resilient your body is. It has a phenomenal ability to heal itself. Of course, the practitioner should provide you with detailed aftercare instructions. These will outline all the procedures and aftercare products you will need to attend to yourself while you heal. A word of caution. If your general health is compromised in any way, if you're sick, run down, or overworked, or immune compromised in any way, your body's ability to heal will be decreased, and there will be an increase in the risk of infection. As you heal, any pressure on the piercing has the potential to aggravate and inflame the site. You'd best refrain from contact sports and manual labor, or anything else that would irritate your new piercing. Most piercings take a minimum of 6 weeks to heal. Wearing tight clothes, touching the piercing with dirty hands, contact with body fluids, rough treatment, and the use of inappropriate cleaning agents will diminish your body's ability to heal and increase the risk of infection. Hey, and don't skimp on the quality of the jewelry you choose either. Poor grade jewelry can fuck up the piercing big time. Given all the pain and risks, you might ask, why do people bother getting pierced at all? Well, that's pretty easy to answer. Piercing aficionados agree. A piercing enhances sex by providing a greater degree of stimulation to oneself and one's partner. The most popular cock piercing is the Prince Albert. It's also the fastest healing, and is considered the most sexually appealing of all cock piercings. It enters the urethra and exits immediately behind the glands on the underside of the cock. There is a variation called the reverse Prince Albert, which enters the urethra and exits on the top of the dickhead. This piercing requires less cleaning than most, since urine aids in the healing process. However, afterwards, most men find that they have to sit down to pee or they dribble all over themselves. You'll need to be sexually abstinent post-piercing for a week, and then 2 to 4 months for it to really heal completely. In the interim, always use a condom until you are fully healed. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Finally, I received the following anonymous heartbreaking message from a 19-year-old Christian boy in Kentucky the other day. It clearly is a cry for help, but what kind of help does this young man need? This tortured soul reviles himself for his sinfulness. What sin could engender such despair in a 19-year-old lad, you might ask? As it turns out, it's masturbation. Good Lord, this kid is completely at his wit's end, maybe even suicidal because he jerks off on occasion. Even if he did it a lot, I mean, considering the other troubles our youngins can get into these days, does this even register on the sin meter? This fellow is setting himself up for a lifetime of shame, repression, and regret, and for what? One might ask, why is a rigorously religious person like Anonymous here doing skulking around the likes of DrDickSexAdvice.com? I don't know, but let's just hope that the pup will visit regularly and allow the sex-positive message found here to balance out the repressive messages he's getting in his church. He writes, I wish I knew where to begin this story, but I don't. More than likely, before any other eyes read these words, I'll have yielded myself to yet another temptation of pornography and self-gratification. Though I realize I grapple with an adversary sickeningly familiar to many men, I turn my head in disgust, no longer wanting to bear my own reflection. I balance dangerously between self-animosity and self-hatred. I write in hopes that someone will read this letter and know that they are not standing alone. My addiction began during the 7th grade or thereabouts. However, I've been a fan of pornography for much longer. I became born again in high school, and like any young, smooth-talking, good-reputation high school guy, I like to engage in physical activity with girls. I liked girls so much that I wanted some sort of physical satisfaction every night. Well, as we all know, unless you're some superstar or man with magic gene, you're out of luck in that area. I was out of luck. I did, however, meet a vicious, soon-to-be constant companion. He was disguised as a harmless and sinless supplementary act of sexual gratification that would hold me over until marriage. He called himself masturbation. Life continued, and my companion and I went everywhere together. He joined me at church. He prayed with me. He laughed with me. He agonized with me. He antagonized me. He followed me when I became a loved and really respected youth leader. He stuck around when God called me away from that church to another smaller one to help it humbly engineer a fresh, youthful, exuberant move of the Holy Spirit. In that church, he faithfully stood by me as I joined the worship team, counseled individuals, led prayer teams, took delegated reins of leadership, and helped fuel a Bible study. After all that, he remained everlasting. We presently are in the midst of establishing a church and fully functioning, self-sufficient, and self-sustaining congregation. Why the accolades? Because I want everyone to know that even a godly, obedient, God-fearing man can fall face down, landing with an impact like an earthquake. I am tired of self-righteous church folk claiming godly authority. I know I'm wrong. I know I need to change. I've tried. I know I've failed and still know I'm hopeless. I've told no one, and it eats at my silence like maggots on a rotting carcass. I cannot shake this addiction for the life of me and its continuing degradation. Since I was a Christian, sex was an outright no-no, but everything else just before it was good enough. After a while, though, even that began taking its toll on me spiritually, and I realized that too was wrong. I needed a godly woman in my life. I needed companionship, both sexually and emotionally, to accompany me through my ministerial endeavors. I had to wait, though. She was nowhere to be found. All I could find was masturbation. He never left, and every time he reminded me he was around, I submitted, while hating every minute of my submission. I find myself tangled in the addictive sexual web of pornography, masturbation, and imaginative adultery daily, as the logical combatant, primarily of depression and companionship. Admittedly, I do it any time I'm depressed, aroused, angry, confused, lonely, all because it's just addictive as drugs, and I am clueless as to its remedy. I know of God's power to do the impossible. By the grace of God, I have been used to it. But I see no end. I see nothing that even resembles a way out. Even when I look through the Spirit-filled eyes, I pray that God does something and does it fast. This constant leech, masturbation, grows stronger hourly. Sweet Jesus pup, maybe you're missing God's message of mercy and compassion because you're so wound up in torturing yourself with your self-denial. What if God refuses to fit inside your tiny sex-negative box? What if you are plagued with these misgivings about yourself because you refuse to see the God-given beauty in human sexuality? I believe God is answering you, but there is so much noise in your head that you drowned God out. Maybe your lack of compassion for yourself is an indication that you are not ready to minister to others. Your self-hatred will surely spill over into their lives, and you will become a minister of despair rather than a minister of hope. Listen, my young friend, if you are backed against the wall at 19 for something as harmless as pulling your pud from time to time, how will you ever have the resources you'll need to stand against the truly corrosive human evils of greed, intolerance, injustice, and bigotry? You need to learn to choose your battles a little better. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself, or the perv in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature, right there on drdicksexadvice.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's stockroom right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the banner that reads, Dr. Dick's Sex Toys and Props. Before I go, I want to call your attention once again to the lickety-split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. Remember, folks, no one's going to personally answer your phone call because it's voicemail. That's right. Dr. Dick is offering you a free podcast voicemail telephone number to call in your questions. You do want to be in one of my podcasts, don't you? Call now. 866-422-5680. Again, the toll-free voicemail podcast telephone number is 866-422-5680. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You will find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory, Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex is even better. Over and out.